Hello and welcome to Two Guys, Three Consoles podcast. My name is Jeremy J. Monster Fowler. This is episode 51. And with me, as always, is my friend and co-host, Matt Leachman Leach.
Hi, Jeremy. How's it going?
How about mate? How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I need a fucking haircut, though. Just looking at myself. On the, if your viewers can't see this or listeners can't see this, with a video footage that we have that we never broadcast and you'll never see ever in the history of this podcast. but I do need a fucking haircut. So,
well, yeah. My heart bleeds for you.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're talking about.
No, look at the light bouncing off my head.
What, when I'm being blinded by
you? Yes, exactly. So, like I say, my heart bleeds for you. Oh, I need a haircut. Oh,
fine, be like that.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Welcome to this week's episode. I think we're going to crack on with some gaming news.
Yeah, indeed, we can, yeah. Good.
Do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay. So Wolverine for the PS5 got a release date.
Yeah, and what is a release date?
September the 15th, 2026.
Hurrah, yes. This is going to be like a quality game, this. After those first two Spider-Man games and Spider-Man Miles Morales, fucking, I'm well up for this.
Yeah, it should be awesome.
And it's a proper Wolverine game as well. Maiming, killing, blood,
The
yellow spandex suit. Let's go.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. But finally, release date, which is good. Yes. Let's hope they can hold to it and it's not going to get delayed.
True. But they just sort of announced it, like, randomly, like on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah,
on
let's just put it out, yeah. Somebody in Insomniac Games were like, what's the least quietest time of the week? Oh, it's Tuesday morning. Let's put it out then.
Yeah. Like, so no fanfare. Not, wasn't it in State of Play? Just stick it out. Let the people know.
Yeah, yeah. Not long. I mean, where are we now? End of February. February. Yeah, beginning of March. So 6 months then, yeah. Six and a bit months. So not long, really.
Yeah.
Go by before we know it.
And the other thing I've got this week is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splinter Fate got a new DLC character, which is Alapex, the ninja fox. Who, so
is this a comic book character to Teenage, or is it a... You don't know. Okay.
I don't recognize it from the original cartoons.
Right. Okay. So it might be a character that's been made up for this game, maybe.
It could be, or like I'd say, there's a lot of characters were added in the original cartoon, and that ran for like 7 seasons or something. So it could be a later cartoon character that I'd stopped watching it by then.
Yeah. Bit too old for it by then.
I say, bearing in mind, I started watching it when I was about 7, and if it was 7 seasons, I would have been 14 by the time it ended. So
true. Although I was still watching it when it was like 16. So,
all right, nice.
I hadn't even had Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles t-shirt.
Awesome.
When it was 16.
The one thing I will mention is the price. So the first DLC was the Katie Jones one that gave you like access to a shortcut and like a new area of level that wasn't there before. That was like $3.99. The second DLC that was just the Metalhead character, pretty much, and that was it, was $4.99.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
No, this third DLC that they've just released, which is literally just the one character, this Ninja Fox, is £9.50.
Why? What is going on with this pricing these days? Like, seriously?
It's just cash grabbing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
I bought it on PS5 and played it for a little while, and then was looking at Xbox, the ad and iPlay, and one of us was possibly going to pick it up, and I couldn't find it on the Xbox store. Like, it's on the front. They've changed the title screen, and there's a thing you can click on that says new DLC available now, but it doesn't take you to the store. And when you look on the store on Xbox, it's not there. So I don't know.
Weird. That's weird. Maybe some kind of glitch on the store.
Yeah.
Maybe the Microsoft's new AI will sort it out, right?
Oh, geez. it's a bit of a tangent, but the AI Copilot, or it's called, has been added to their Xbox app, phone app. And randomly earlier on, myself and the rest of them in the group chat, we all seemed to get the same message. But then how many times you got the message seemed to be different per person. I got it twice.
I got the same message. I got it. 10 times.
10, right. I got it twice. Wadey was complaining he got it a lot of times. I was lucky to only get it twice then. And it seems that everyone in the group chat got it a different amount of times. But like you say, it's just literally the same message over and over again. Why?
Yeah. Welcome to the new Microsoft / Xbox AI driven bullshit.
Yeah.
And it is bullshit.
It is. Just in AI. Get rid of it.
It's causing pain.
Yes.
Literal pain. Mm-hmm. The sooner the fad is fucking over and the bubble bursts, the fucking better in my book.
Yes, definitely. What have you got this week?
So we've got some sad news because it happened after we recorded last week, and that Sony announced that they're closing Bluepoint Studios, which is a real downer because everybody assumed that they were working on something really good because Sony acquired them back in 2021.
Yep.
Thinking that they were squirreling away, working on some kind of secret project. Turns out they were working on a God of War live service game, which was cancelled.
Yes.
And Sony decided to let them all go. So they all lost their jobs.
Yes, it's bullshit.
Which is utter bullshit.
Yeah, it's just bollocks.
It's just bullshit. I don't know what the fuck Sony think they're playing at.
Mm.
You know, Bluepoint Studios have made some outstanding remasters, remakes of games, Demon's Souls, Uncharted Collection.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus. Some outstanding, in my view, talent in that studio, and they've let them all go. So apparently it's about 70 people in total that they let go. And obviously they've been getting their severance pay or whatever they call it. And hopefully they can find jobs based in other development studios, you know, and still stay in the industry, or maybe even start the new studios, because that's what's happened sometimes, is sometimes they go and form their own studio. That's happened before, but obviously that takes quite a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
So that is some sad news. It was quite sad to hear about that.
Yeah, I think we both were. They're extremely good. And the worst thing about it is that Sony gave no reason why they've done it.
Well, they said following a business review. That's all they said.
Well, that's bollocks.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's the same old thing. Cut costs. What is the quickest way to cut costs? I would just get rid of this studio that we acquired 5 years ago, and basically we've just had them doing support work and not done anything else with it, which is stupid.
Yeah.
But who knows? You know, there's people in suits somewhere in Japan, Sony, or in America or wherever, making these decisions who have no idea about the legacy of their stuff. You know, they don't care. They just look at the numbers.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a downer, but. Something which came up the other day, which I've only just seen, and that is there's a new feature on the PS5, which Sony have not really said anything about. Basically, it's on the store, on the console only, so this isn't on the phone or the website. You're only going to see it on the console for now, is that they will now show a game's launch price on its release date and mention roughly how long it will be sold for that price initially, which wasn't on the store before, which is quite good, because last October they added price history for games on the PlayStation store, so those buying a game could see what the lowest price they played in the last 30 days or what it was available for in the last 30 days. So that was good, but this is a new feature that not even said anything about, so you can actually see how much the game's going to launch for initially on its release date. Yeah, and roughly how long it's going to be sold for that price initially. So I think that's pretty good. You know, it's good to be informed. They should have touted it out more, really. It's just something that I'm like, what's this bit of news here? I didn't even know anything about this.
It's just a good little useful feature. And like you say, they haven't really promoted it at all.
At all. And it's only on console storefront, not on web or on the app. So they'll probably add that at a later date, no doubt. I mean, I did get a PS5 update the week, I think, was it last week? Earlier this week? I can't remember. Maybe that was something to do with that. Possibly. So, I don't know. But yeah, that's all my news for this week.
Nice. So we're moving on to what we've been playing.
Yeah, I think so.
Can I go first?
Yeah, can do. So, I had a bit of a nostalgia trip recently, going all the way back to middle of 97 when I was about to graduate from university. I got this game called Outlaws on PC. and it's a first-person Western-style shooter. Think High Plains Drifter or The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, or that kind of Western type kind of thing. High Noon, Gary Cooper, maybe. Maybe I'm too old now. Anyway, so Unforgiven, there you go. There's a newer one that came out in like the early 90s.
Yeah, I know that one.
That one, yeah. So basically the premise is you were a former marshal, and your daughter gets kidnapped, your wife gets killed, and you're on a revenge quest. That's the plot. I have fond memories of this game because I played it with a mate called Mike when it was uni. We like kind of like alternated between levels while we were playing it. We were supposed to be studying, but we were like, fuck that, we'll just play video games instead. And I have fond memories of it because it was one of the first, I think it was about a year after Duke Nukem 3D came out, which I've spoken about before. So this was made by LucasArts at the time. First person, you had revolver, shotgun, double barrel shotgun. You can throw knives and dynamite. It was a typical of it, it's very of its time. So if you got injured, there's little health packs all around the map. There's ammo and enemies anywhere. Enemies like shout at you, like, "Where are you, Marshal?" And you got manure for brains and stuff like that. So, very much of its time. And I like I say, I have fond memories of it. So they released a remaster of it last year, with all the DLC that came out, which I never played. I just played the original game, thinking, "Oh yeah, I enjoyed this game," and it has not aged well.
Okay. What platform are you playing it on?
Switch 2. I went on Switch 2 just because I've not played Switch and I wanted something to play handheld, even though I've got games on there that I haven't finished, but that's another conversation. I thought I'd play it on Switch 2, and I don't know how I managed to even fucking play the game back in the day, because there's no auto save, there's no auto reload. You have a map, but it's like basically a wireframe overhead map. It doesn't give you any distinguishing features in the map at all. Like
Jeez.
nothing. It just gives you a wireframe of where you're at in the on the map.
Oh no.
I was struggling to complete the second level because you have to pick up some keys to get it through a door to get the enemy to shoot him to move to the next level. And when you finish your level, bang, that's it. The level's finished. You can't go back to it. You're done. You move on to the next one. So you can't go back into the level and pick up any collectibles what you missed or whatever. That's it. You finish a level, you're on to the next one.
Is this like an early 3D game that's dated a bit like GoldenEye?
It's not dated as much as that, but it is kind of there because the character models of the enemies are almost like cardboard cutouts, literal cardboard cutouts. Like when you shoot at them, they like lie flat on the ground. There's no substance to them, nothing like that.
The remaster on everything.
Yes, I think it is on everything, including PC. Yeah, PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch. Because I was going to double dip and get it on PlayStation 5, but I'm not going to do that.
No.
After playing it for what, put about a couple of hours into it, and I've got to like the fourth level, I think, or the fifth level. Don't know how many there are in the game, can't remember. But I really struggled for the first half an hour because there's no auto reload. So when you run out of bullets, I was like pressing fire, and his gun was just going click, 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 click. I'm like, why is that? Oh, I've got a reload. So there was that. You can, and he runs like he's fucking Superman or the Flash. Like literally, he runs through the level like he's on fucking speed or something. I'm not even joking. And he can jump about 30 feet in the air when you jump.
Damn.
It's so funny.
What
Oh,
sort?
I was laughing at it because it just made me like, I didn't remember any of this when I played it.
What sort of price point did they launch the remaster at?
I think full price is 25,
Okay.
and it was on sale on Switch and on PlayStation. I got it for 20.
Right. What could be worse then?
I'm not saying I wasted my money. I haven't, but nostalgia can really cloud your judgment in certain
Yeah,
games.
the unfortunate truth is that certain games are best left off in the past.
Definitely. I mean, I might finish this. I don't know, but it's very dark. Like the game is really dark, as in you can't really see what's going on, and
Wow.
there's no option to change the brightness in game. You have to change
Oh,
on the
the brightness on
TV.
your TV.
Yeah. And like I said, there's no autosave. So if you die, it takes you back to the very beginning of the level.
No.
So you have to make sure you're saving every few minutes
Yeah.
manually.
Okay.
Which I would have thought in a remaster, they would have put in at least one autosave,
Yeah.
like halfway through the level or something. No, you're dead. You
Yeah.
go right to the beginning of the level,
Right.
and all the enemies respawn.
Right.
So you have to make sure you save it pretty regularly. And it's okay. It's I've seen worse remasters, but yeah, I don't know. It's not as good as I remembered it to be. I tell you what,
No.
the cutscenes are still really good because that's what I remember most about it was the cutscenes.
Right.
The cutscenes hold up pretty well, but the actual in-game, there's better, definitely better first person shooters like Duke Nukem 3D of the time, which I talked about the other week. So yeah, I've been playing that, and I've put a lot of hours into Neo 3. I've already talked about it for a couple of episodes, so I won't talk about it too much. But I'm at the very end of the game. I've just got to the final boss, 100 hours in.
I was going to say, you must be at 100 hours in by now,
Yeah,
surely.
100 hours in. Just hit the 100 hour mark, and I'm at the very end game. I've done pretty much everything in the game. There's a few outstanding things that I haven't done. There's like these demons. I call them demons. We're in the Discord of another podcast, the So Video Games Podcast, and there's a Discord channel in there for Neo 3, and we were discussing it in there.
Sure,
And yeah, shout out to Brad. And I mentioned something called Demon of Hatred, and then I realized that's in Sekiro, so I don't know why I said that, but
oh, I said the wrong game.
yeah, so there's three demons. It's called Demons of in some. There's like a trophy for each one,
Right.
and it's not really part of the story. It's like side content, which I attempted to do two of them. There's three of them. I found three of them. They're spread across the maps, or the time periods, and I've had to go a couple of them, and I just got like wasted. So I think it's like go back and do it when you should finish the game kind of thing.
Right.
So I haven't done those. I've got most of the, I'm not like 62% of the trophies, something like that. But I have been enjoying this game. It has been a real, I've sworn at it, I've laughed at it, I've got really angry at it. But I'm still playing it. So I'm sure I'm going to finish it this weekend. I'm almost positive I will.
Nice.
So I'll talk about it, the platinum stuff in Platinum Watch. So that's what I've been playing this week. What about you?
So not masses. I've meant to go back to Yote and just haven't managed it. I think I've said to you before that when I do actually make myself play it, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, just a lot of the time I just don't think to play it. I don't switch it on. I don't know why. So that's on my to-do list to go back to that game.
Yeah.
And my friend Derek Killisaw got Monster Hunter Wilds and the PS5.
Oh, nice. Excellent. He's joined the PS5 crew.
He has.
Congratulations. Welcome to the modern era of gaming.
And so because he's been playing that, I've been giving him a hand, and we've got them to like Hunter rank 40, which is like level basically. So I've helped him quite a bit, and he's been quite a bit by himself as well. And through that's got me back into playing it again. He wanted to face Ludicrous, who's one of he was the front cover monster in Tri, and they have very smartly put the theme from Tri as his music in the game.
Right.
So of course, when you get to hunt him, you get all the nostalgia feels if Tri was a thing for you back in the day. So he really wanted to get to him, and so been trying to help him get to that point. And then off the back of that, I realized that I kind of forgot that last time I was playing it, I needed four laggiest sapphires, which is like his rare drop. It's like a 1 or 2% drop rate. So I must have hunted that monster about 35 times over the last week or so.
Wow.
I finally got one. I sent you a screenshot and you were like, "What's this?"
Yeah, I'm like, what's this?
Needed to give you some context.
Yeah.
So I've got one down, three more to go.
Wow. This sounds reminiscent of when you did that farming in Dark Souls 3 to get the platinum.
Oh, fucking hell.
That's kind of the thing it sounds like because of the rare drops.
Yeah, that was with one of the covenants where you either had to do PvP and invade people, or you could grind these things that were like 0.5% drop rate.
Even less than the monsters. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds like that.
Yeah. So we did eventually get Derek to that point, and we did fight the Geocross a couple of times, so he's at least done him now and probably has access to be able to do it again.
When's the expansion coming out?
It's a good question. They've and in theory announced it without properly formally announcing it. They've let on that people know that they're working on it, and they say they're going to talk about it more in the summer. So in the summer we'll probably get a title like Iceborne or Sunbreak or the last couple expansions what they've been, and then hopefully a release date as well.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's usually about 18 months after the game launches, and the game launched at end of February 25.
Right, so a year ago then.
So yeah, so probably September, October, if we're lucky. If we're not lucky, it's gonna be next year.
Yeah.
But apparently they've fixed the PC version finally.
Well, that's good. That's positive.
Yeah.
Now Derek's got a PS5, you're going to be playing like any more multiplayer type games?
I mean, we've got the Sunday Night Crew, which is me, Kyle, Derek, and Tepic, and we'd started Zombie Army 4, like when he's got a PS4.
Yeah.
And so when he got the PS5, I was like, well, we can't sack Zombie Army off because we're all enjoying that.
Yeah.
So we agreed that that's not happening. We're going to keep going with Zombie Army till we're done with it, till we've
What's
got
that?
all of.
Is that a bit like Left 4 Dead Zombie Army 4?
A little bit, yeah. It's made by the same developer that made Strange Brigade. I don't know if you know that one at all.
I know the name, I never played it though.
Right, okay. And the way it's been released, there's like I think the first three games have been bundled together now. So you can get Zombie Army the Trilogy, you can get all three. And we've skipped that one and gone straight to four,
Right.
which was sold separately. But I had access to it because it was a PS Plus game.
Right, okay.
You know, even at base pauper level.
Oh.
So I think all of us had Zombie Army 4, apart from Derek, who didn't click to download it that month. So I think he had to get hold of it from CX or something.
Right.
But yeah, you never know. Wilds might become our Sunday night game at some
Yeah.
point if we haven't exhausted everything for him already by that point, but we'll
Yeah.
see.
Yeah. But this has got you kind of back into it, ready for more content to follow, hopefully in 6 months' time.
Well, yeah, so they've just added the very final update to the base game, which is Archtempered Arkveld, which is like 10 star. So they've been building up the stars. The stars are the difficulty levels. So you had 7 star was harder than 6 star, and then 8 star was harder than 7. And then they've recently put 9 star in, and then this Archtempered Arkveld is a 10 star quest. And then they've upped some of the other Archtempered monsters that are already in the game, given them 10 star versions as well. So in theory, that's as hard as the game gets at the moment.
Right, fair
But
enough.
I've not even attempted that yet.
Fair.
I've heard it's a slog. He's got a very high amount of health, and he's got an awful lot of one-shot kill attacks. And I was like, do I really need to do this right now? Probably not.
No, probably not.
Come back to it later.
Yeah.
But that's all I've got this week. So moving on to Retro Corner.
Yeah.
Okay, so racking, this is all going on the memory banks for this one. I haven't actually
This
got
could go horribly wrong.
It's good going on the memory, and I haven't got a physical copy to wave at the camera this time.
No.
But I went
Does a
for,
physical copy even exist?
I think it does.
It's expensive, do we think?
I probably will be by now anyway. I've went for Double Dragon 3, the Rosetta Stone, which I played on the NES.
This is a NES game. Wow. I didn't know
Yes.
that. Mind you,
So, Double
Double Dragon
Dragon,
is old now.
yeah, Double Dragon's got a bit of a bizarre history on the NES. The very first game was, it wasn't a great version of the NES. So, bearing in mind that Double Dragon's a side-scrolling beat 'em up that very much is about the two-player multiplayer, two-player co-op. The NES version of the first game doesn't have co-op.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's got an option on the menu that says two-player. And it works like the original Super Mario Bros., where you take turns. You know, player one does the level, and then player two does the level. So
Yeah, that's not
it's not two player. It's not what you want.
no.
And the Master System version of the original Double Dragon does have two player co-op. And so back in the day when we were at school, that was one of the things that Master System kids used to go, your version of Double Dragon's crappy, I haven't even got a two-player. But like I say, I never even owned the first game. I played it around at a friend's and that was about it. Double Dragon 2, I absolutely loved on the NES, played a load of it. That was where Double Dragon was at for me on the NES. This third game, it's like a different developer.
Yeah.
The publisher, for some reason, changed developer. I don't know why. And it is so hard. So Double Dragon 3, you get one life.
Yeah.
And one continue.
Is that all?
Yeah. So if you die once, you can continue. And then if you die again, that's it. Game over.
That's the beginning of the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's also
it doesn't even give you like level codes or anything like that.
No, I don't, not that I remember anyway. It's the first game I remember actually having more microtransactions.
Oh, really?
Includes the arcade game.
I played that. See, the arcade game is the way I remember Double Dragon because that's what I played, picking up the baseball bats and the trash cans and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So in the arcade version of Double Dragon 3, the microtransactions were you could pump more real-life money into it. And when you're at the shops, you could buy extra lives. I think you could buy continues. You could buy like health buffs. Like
that's mad, isn't it? An arcade game. Put an extra 10p in, and you can have three more lives.
Yeah. So that's why they only gave you one life and one continue because they wanted you to spend more rent money in the shop with
this,
the arcade.
This wasn't a Capcom game.
No, it's not a Capcom game, no.
Just double checking.
I think Taito is the publisher. So on the NES version, because you can't put more real life money into it, I think there's currency in the game. And so you can spend the currency you accrue in the game in the shop to get yourself more lives, more continues, and to do more damage and such like. But I never finished this third game because it was so hard. Like getting to the end of the game, well, I suppose you're supposed to buy continues and lives and buff yourself as you go along, but often couldn't get far enough with the limited amount of what they give you to do it. So it's a bit of a weird one. Like the art style looks different as well because it's different, like developer.
Yeah, I remember seeing something about Double Dragon 3 when it came out, like thinking, this doesn't look like Double Dragon I remember. It's very different.
Oh, well, yeah. And so, like, when they did Double Dragon 4 a few years ago,
yeah,
and went back to the art style of 2 from the NES. So they completely skipped the art style for 3.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how much this, like, a physical version of this costs. It's not on anything. Like, Double Dragon 2 NES version is on NSO or Nintendo Classics or whatever they call it these days.
Yeah.
I don't think the third game is. I think the first game might be on there. And the second game is, but the third one's not.
No, interesting. Might be licensing, that kind of thing. You never know.
Yeah. So if you want to play this one legally these days, you're a bit limited. Like, emulation's probably your only way to play it now.
Yeah, as for a lot of those older games, emulation might be the only way to do it.
I mean, the third one does have co-op, I believe. But again, you've got one life each. So if one of you dies, you rely on the other one staying alive long enough to get to the shop to buy another life to get the other one back in.
Get you back in, yeah. Weird. It's a weird way to program a game, isn't it?
It's late 80s or early 90s. I forget which one. Yeah. What have you got this week?
So we're going right back to the beginning. And I think I have mentioned this a few times before, but this is the first time I put it on Retro Corner. And the very first video game that I played, which got me into gaming, is a game called Choplifter. Now, I was researching this earlier today, just refreshing my memory of it. I thought it actually originally launched on the Commodore systems, so the VIC-20, which I played it on, and the Commodore 64. I thought it launched on those computers. Turns out it was actually programmed for the Apple II, which I didn't know. That was the first computer that it came out on, and then they about a year after that version came... No, same year, 1982, came out on Commodore VIC-20 and the Commodore 64. I think the... Because originally I had my VIC-20, it wasn't mine, it was a family computer. Mm. The VIC-20 was hooked up to a black and white TV. And for those younger listeners, a black and white TV is a TV that's black and white. So you may never have seen this. It may not be anywhere in your history. Can you
No.
imagine having no colors and
Yeah,
having a video game?
you reminded me of that snooker commentator, that classic
Oh,
clip from the.
Tableau. Yeah, yes.
For those watching at home, and black and black and white, the blue ball is the one next to the pink one.
Yes. Good old Tedlow. You could always get a laugh out of him. And then I think when my dad was out, me and my brother hooked up the VIC-20 to the colour TV. It's like, wow, it's King Colour. So the premise of Choplifter, you fly a chopper. Not a helicopter, a chopper.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the difference is, but there is a difference, apparently.
Okay, is it?
I think it's something to do with where they're designed, but essentially it's a helicopter.
Okay.
And you're a military helicopter,
Right.
and your objective on the levels is you have to land near an enemy base. No, you have to land. All you've got to do is you've got to fly over an enemy base. So there's things firing at you, anti-aircraft missiles. Soldiers shooting bullets at you, tanks trying to kill you. You got to try and take those out, and then just outside the enemy base is like where you're not refugees. What do you want to call them? Like stranded soldiers, like soldiers who got lost, all like grouped together, and you can land, and only six or eight of them can get on your helicopter at a time, or chopper even. And then you got to fly back, making sure you don't die, land at your base, they exit the helicopter and you go back. And that's the gameplay loop.
Is it anything like Desert Strike?
Not really, because Desert Strike was like an isomorphic 3D kind of
Isometric,
game.
wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and in that you were like you took on missions, didn't you? And
Yes.
you had to go to this enemy base and destroy it, or destroy
Yes.
these aircraft carriers, or blah blah blah. This, I suppose, because your objective was just to land, get the troops onto your chopper and take them back and get them safe into the base. So I suppose it's like a 2D version of that, maybe, I guess.
The whole game is basically a rescue mission.
Pretty much. And it's, as far as I remember, it's an endless game, a bit like Pac-Man, where when you complete a maze in Pac-Man, you go on to the next maze. And you go, and you just keep going, and then it never ends. So that's the kind of game that it is. You just keep going. Once you complete one level, enemies get progressively harder. It gets more difficult to land, and just keep going, keep going, keep going. As I thought, this was based on an arcade game made by Sega. The actual turns out that the original version on the Apple II was ported to the arcade in '85 by Sega. Sega saw it, licensed it off the guy who made it, because there was one guy who made it, one guy on his own,
All
program,
right, yes.
one guy on the Apple II. And video game development wasn't even his primary career. I looked him up. He basically teaches like African lore and music.
Oh, okay,
He's not
random.
African himself, but that's what he does. He teaches it. He's a lecturer, or he was at the time anyway. We're going back to mid-70s, early 80s. And he did this on a kind of a side project, and it took off. No pun intended, it took off. The reason it sticks in my mind is because I played it. It was the only game I could play. It was the only game I had, like initially for the first couple of months. I had a computer and loaded it from tape. 3.5K of RAM. It's very, very basic gaming, but I still had a lot of fun with it. Because it was fun just to try and beat the enemies and try and get as many guys on board your chopper and get them back safely to the base. It's literally like little stick men waving in the air like that. You can't see me waving, but they're like waving up the air to land and get them on the air. I enjoyed it. At least I remember. Again, nostalgia tinted glasses, probably. I'm sure if I played it now, I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
You're ruining memory.
This was 44 years ago,
Yeah.
so. It's a long time ago. But they've done like an HD version of this. I think it came out on Switch a few years ago. And the guy who originally programmed it was trying to make a more modern version of it, but they've never been able to get it going. And I think it's been abandoned as far as I know.
Yeah, probably not of interest.
But yeah, I mean, because it was the very first video game I played, that's what got me into gaming. So after that, it kind of just snowballed from there.
Right, cool.
But yeah, that's my one for this week.
Ah, good stuff. And that brings on to Platinum Watch.
Yes, Platinum Watch, Nioh 3. I'm intending to get the Platinum. I got the Platinum for Nioh 1 and Nioh 2, so I am going to get the Platinum for Nioh 3. I haven't got that many trophies left. I think I've got 62% of the trophies. So I've got a few left. There's a couple. I've got most of the collectible ones because in the game, in the different, you've got discrete areas like maps across the different time zones, because that's why it's only semi-open world. And I've pretty much got everything in all the zones. There's only a few things left that I need to get. And then there's they've done this in all the Neo games. There's specific things that you've got to do in specific missions to get certain trophies. I haven't done those. So this is the beauty of the Neo games, is you can go back and replay those missions as many times as you want. Because they've done it slightly differently, because there's no mission-based kind of structure like there was in Neo 1 and Neo 2. They have something called the Battle Scroll at the shrine. In the Battle Scroll is a list of all the missions that you've done, or a list of all the missions that are available across all the different time periods. And you can jump back into those as many times as you want. So that's what I need to do. I need to jump back in, and there's a specific thing that I've got to do, a specific mission to get a specific trophy. So as I'm right at the end of the game, I'll probably complete the game first, and then I'll go back and get the trophies. So I may have platinum soon-ish, but there's a certain game coming out in a couple of days' time.
There is.
It's just going to take up a lot of my time, which is Resident Evil Requiem, and we're both going to be playing it. So, did you get it for PlayStation or Switch?
Neither. So ads and I go console share on Xbox,
Xbox, that's it, yeah.
and we're going halves on that.
Cool. So you'll be playing on Xbox. Nice one.
So he's holding out, hoping that CD keys or whatever they're being called now get it back in stock in time. Because if they do, that'll be the cheapest way for us to get it.
Yeah.
But if they don't, we're just gonna have to get it from the Microsoft store.
Oh,
But
pay for whack.
yes, but he's buying at his end, and I'm giving him my half. So
Okay.
I'm holding him, getting hold of it.
I haven't told you this, but I bought two copies.
What?
One for me,
Okay.
and it's Emily's birthday on Saturday. And her stepdad's got a PS5, so she said to him, "Can if my dad buys me a copy of Resident Evil Requiem, can I play it on your PS5?" And he went, "Yeah, all right." I bought her a copy for her birthday.
So she's into Resi.
Oh, she loves Resi. She played. It was her and her friend. She didn't listen to this podcast. It's her and a friend, they played Resident Evil 2, 3, 4
Four,
remake.
sorry, four.
Yeah, together. They played the like take turns,
Yeah,
like
that's
the
nice.
bad, like yeah.
Yeah.
They did that with Resi 2, 3, and they both like Carlos a lot. And I'm like, he's a fucking haircut, that man. But Resident Evil 3, you remember what he said, all that frizzy
Oh
hair?
yeah,
Get
oh,
your
I
fucking
come
haircut,
for
mate.
yeah.
You're gonna be like me. Anyway,
Well, I was talking to Ad about the Resi 3 remake earlier on today. He's short. It's like 4 hours.
When I completed it, I thought it was going to be like Resident Evil 2, which is what the first time I played through it was just a blind playthrough. It took me like 11, 12 hours, something like that. I thought Resident Evil 3 was going to take me like 5 hours. I'm like, is that it? I was like,
Yeah,
what?
they took bits out
They took
of
it out.
the
Yeah, they really did. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good remake, but the content
remake.
is very minimal in that one. I don't know why.
It was all right. It's nowhere near the level of two or four.
No, definitely not. I mean, it's still good. I mean, I got a platinum for it, but I enjoyed it, but not. I didn't enjoy it as much as 2 and 4 for sure. Definitely, four has been the best of the remake so far, for definite.
Yes.
Definitely. But yeah, I was straying from my Neo 3. But yeah, Neo 3 Platinum incoming soon. So once I've got that, I will talk about it.
Cool. So, just another aside before we go into the main subject of the week, of course, that will HD remasters is in the main subject, spoiler for this week's episode in a couple of minutes. But before we go on to that, I'm gonna have a bit of a whinge. So we both love Nintendo. I love Nintendo, you love Nintendo, we both have done for a long time. And they finally released the HD upgrade, or the Switch 2 upgrade for Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yeah, I mean, when you mentioned this to me, I was like, ooh, I might actually play this.
Yeah. So, well, I'm not trying to put you off. Like, we'll start with the good. The good is that they've upgraded the resolution to 4K, and they've upgraded the frame rate from 30 frames a second to 60. And it pretty much, for the most part, like they say, we're aiming for 60. And the phrasing there is critical, really. They say aiming because it's not a constant 60 all of the time. You do get minor drops when there's a lot going on, because it's a big open world and you've got like mechs and big enemies. And sometimes when there's a lot going on screen, the 60 frames does drop a little bit. I won't deny that. But for the most part, the frame rate is pretty good. But it's a Wii U game that started off in 2015 and was 720p when it first came out.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how they've done this up-res, whether it was like some dodgy AI or what exactly has bumped the resolution to 4K. But there's a weird like shimmering effect that you get on the assets in the game, mm-hmm. particularly when you're looking towards, like, if you've got a light source, if you're looking towards a light, if you pan the camera around and you're looking towards a light source, assets in the game, when I'm talking assets, it's like, you know, rocks, enemies, your character, just anything.
Yeah.
And it's much more, to give them credit, it doesn't happen as often in docked mode. In docked, it's not as much of a problem.
Yeah.
But if you play it handheld, it's very prevalent all the time.
Right. That's not good. If you want to play exclusively handheld, it's not good at all. Yeah.
And so I saw that this article saying Nintendo were getting refunds, and I was like, well, I'm not happy with this. I'm going to ask for one. And it took them like 2 days to come back to me. And they just gave me the bog standard, like, it's in our terms and conditions that you signed up for this. You've paid the money. You're not having a refund. Please try these. And it listed like a bunch of things that I could try to fix it. And it's things like delete and reinstall the game.
Yeah, like that'll make a difference.
Yeah, like delete your memory card.
Why would you do that?
Reboot your console. Like, there's basically about six things that they listed that they want me to do in this email, none of which are going to fix my problem. No. In fact, I don't think the support staff who have been replying to me actually understand
what the issue is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they keep referring to your problem. We're sorry you find the game to be faulty. It's not faulty. It's just that what you've charged people for makes the game look worse than the Switch 1 version did.
And this is just insane.
Yeah, and you can't go back. And I've seen some YouTube videos about this, and people talk about the fact that the price point that they were selling it for, being £4 or $5 in America, is telling. You can tell with the Switch 2 upgrades, if they're a paid one, basically, the more expensive they are, the more effort Nintendo's put into them.
Yeah. So this smells like a churn it into an AI machine and see what spits it out. And this is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. I think you could well be right. And so, I mean, hopefully they'll patch it. And I tried to have a right old whinge at them, and then Digital Foundry put out a video about it. So I actually forwarded the video on to Nintendo support. And they replied, "We're sorry, we can't open external links."
Nintendo.
So they've basically just fobbed me off. Yeah. Like, you're not having a refund. Yeah, and you have to live with the fact that the game looks worse now than did before with the Switch 1 version.
Obviously, digitally, can you no longer download the original Switch version? It's not available anymore.
I've got a physical.
Yeah.
But I accepted the... See, the upgrade was digital.
Right.
And I've accepted the upgrade.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to revert that back to the previous version. From what they said to me in the emails, is not possible.
Can you not delete the Switch 2 version, put your Switch in, like, offline mode, don't connect it to the internet, install the original Switch version, and then connect it back to the internet and see what happens?
I have to admit, I haven't tried that.
That's the only thing I can think of. Because if you've got the physical version, thing is, you could, if it tries to start upgrading to the Switch 2 version, just cancel the download, and then you just have the Switch 1 version. Maybe, I don't know, just thinking off the top of my head.
Yeah, Because, like, probably like the Switch 1 version, although only runs at 30, for the most part, it was a constant 30.
Yeah, I remember
So,
you played through to the end, didn't you? Because you never finished it on Wii U, which is the reason you played it on Switch.
So I think I'd probably prefer to have Switch 1 version back if possible, unless they're going to patch it. I mean, maybe they will patch it at some point. But
I mean,
yeah.
if Digital Foundry have done a video on it, then that's they're a pretty popular channel, and they know what they're talking about. So Nintendo may take note, but Nintendo
Yeah, exactly.
are gonna Nintendo.
So yeah, anyway, so that's a bit of an aside note, but it's
Worth
warming
mentioning, though.
up.
Worth
Yeah,
mentioning for
it's
sure.
warming up. Like, Nintendo are not immune to criticism. They do things wrong.
Oh, definitely.
And
Definitely.
I thought it was worth mentioning because if this happened to me, it's probably happened to other people as well.
For sure.
So our subject for this week is HD remasters, worth it or a cash grab?
Yeah, I mean, thinking about the Outlaws remaster, that's what got me kind of thinking about this subject was. I'm trying to cast my mind back to thinking of, like, the quote unquote the first HD remaster that I experienced, and it was a positive one because around about the time Metal Gear Solid 2 came out on the PlayStation 2, so we're going back to early 2000s. I played the demo of it on. Remember when they used to put CDs on front of magazine covers and that kind of, yeah, I remember when they used to do that. And I played the demo of it.
I can't remember what it's called, but Konami, before they let the magazines have it, they put a game out that they didn't expect to sell much, and they bundled the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo.
Zone of the Enders.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the one that I had. It was Zone of the Enders. Yeah.
And so Zone of the Enders sold way more because of the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo than it would
Yeah,
have otherwise.
exactly. I think that was their plan, to be fair. But yeah, I played the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo, which is the beginning bit on the ship when you play as Snake. And I liked it, but I moved on from my PlayStation 2 and got a GameCube because I was more excited for Wind Waker than I was for Metal Gear Solid 2.
Right, fair enough.
So I never played Metal Gear Solid 2 or Metal Gear Solid 3 on PlayStation 2 because I didn't have the console anymore. So it wasn't until I got the PlayStation 3 and the HD remake came out in 2011. So that had Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, and Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which I've
Which
never played.
they've just announced that's in this.
That's in this new collection, a Volume 2 collection, yeah. Which originally it was a PSP game.
So
It
this
was,
second collection's got Metal Gear 4,
yeah.
Peace Walker.
Yeah.
Is that about it?
And it's got a Metal Gear Game Boy Color game as well.
Right.
Yeah. Some weird Metal Gear Solid game that came out on the Game Boy Color years ago, but which is apparently a really good game. But yeah, we talk about it on Digital Foundry. That's another one. We're giving Digital Foundry a plug here. It'd be funny if they're listening to this, but I doubt
I highly doubt the Digital Foundry listen to
they are.
us.
I doubt it. I doubt
I would
it.
like it if they did, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it. But so yeah, this was the first remaster that I got, and I let me play those games because I'd not played them, and they were good versions of the game. I played through the whole Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 on the PlayStation 3, enjoyed both of them. I played a little bit of Peace Walker, but not really my bag. I might give it another go with the Metal Gear Solid Volume 2 collection on PS5 because I do like Metal Gear Solid 4. That's a good game, anyway. But this is like it was a pos that was a positive HD remake, because the following year I also got the Jak and Daxter HD collection. Again, I'd only played the first game on PS2 and I never played Jak 2 or Jak 3 because I never played PlayStation 2. I'm gonna say that was a positive. I mean, there were good remasters, but those fucking games are hard, man. Jak 2 is one of the hardest, still one of the hardest platform action games I've ever played. It is ridiculously hard. Like, I'm not just saying that. It is, go and play it because it is stupidly hard. I don't know why they ramped up the difficulty so much in some of the bosses in are just like ridiculous. I was so, and it combines with that PS2 jank as well, which came over in the remaster. They never really fixed it, which was the camera angles. Absolute nightmare in Jack and Daxter, Precursor Legacy, and Jack 2. Jack 3, not so bad, but yeah. So that, again, a positive. It enabled me to play Jack 2 and Jack 3, which I'd never played before. Decent remasters, quote unquote. But can you remember like your first positive experience of a remake of a game? Probably Resident Evil on the GameCube?
Resident Evil GameCube, yeah, the very first one.
So this was a full remake, wasn't it?
It was.
But they still used the isometric...
It was still pre-rendered.
Pre-rendered. Yeah.
The difference between the PlayStation 1 original, which almost seems bright and well lit in comparison to the GameCube one, is night and day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I played the HD version of that on PlayStation. I've never played it on the GameCube.
Right.
But I think it's a good version of Resident Evil.
It is. I've still got the American copy sat on my shelf.
Oh, okay.
In fact, because this was back in the day when I had a Japanese GameCube that was modded to play American games as well as the UK one, and ordered the US version from some website that had it super cheap, not realizing that the delivery was like by ship or something. So it took like
months.
Yeah, so it took like 3 months to arrive.
Yeah.
In 2002.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. But you had a positive experience, so this is kind of what I was thinking. Like, you have there's positive experiences, and then something like played like the God of War 1 and 2 remasters. I did not enjoy that.
So they're remastering 1, 2, and 3 again, aren't they?
Again. This is like the second or third time they've remastered them, I'm not sure.
Right.
But I never played them again because I now have PlayStation 2. I never played the original God of War, God of War 2 on PlayStation 2. I played them on the collection. I just didn't think they were did the games justice. Unless it was the games themselves, but the camera angles were awful.
Right.
This might be to do with the original games, but this is why I'm thinking sometimes it is just a cash grab, like. You know, Konami released Metal Gear Solid 1 Collection last year or the year, or 2024? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Sometime recently, maybe
23. Yeah, fairly recently. And everyone said these versions of these games are terrible.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, the frame rate was bad. It's like they put the minimum amount of effort in to get the maximum amount of money.
Yeah, like, apparently the Switch 1 version in particular of that collection was supposed to be poor.
Poor, yeah. Really poor, and it should have been able to handle it no problem because these games came out almost 30 years ago.
Yeah,
so 25 years ago. But you know, it should be able to handle it. So it does make me, in my mind, it thinks to me sometimes like they're banking on the people who played them originally, because like someone new to gaming are going to pick up these games and thinking these are supposed to be classics and they're a bag of shit. So it does make me wonder. What goes through, you know, the idea of taking a game, like we already mentioned it at the beginning of the show about Blue Point doing a full remake of Demon's Souls.
Yes.
And that was the first game I played on PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the definitive version of Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
Because it is such a good remake. Like it's a proper full-up remake, not just a remaster, a remake. And they did a really superb job.
Yeah, like from the ground up, is a very good version.
Yeah, because I never played the PS3 version. Did you play a PS3 version?
No, I didn't have a PS3.
Right.
So this is the game pre-Dark Souls that originally Sony didn't want to release it in the West.
Well, they just wanted it over in the Japan.
Yeah, and PS3 is region-free. And believe there's options to change it into English as well with the Japanese version. So people were importing the Japanese version of this game to play on the PS3 in the West. And eventually...
That's what my mate did. My mate did that, Dan. Yeah, he did that.
Eventually, Sony were persuaded to release it in the West, but it took a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember playing it back in like 2014, maybe. So this was way before I played Bloodborne.
Right.
Way before I got into, like, you know, Souls games.
Yeah.
And I played, like,
2 hours of Demon's Souls, and I just wasn't getting anywhere, and I was like, nah, same for me.
Yeah, like, it's only when you play Demon's Souls that it makes you realize that Dark Souls is actually the more accessible one.
Absolutely.
I remember how I felt about Dark Souls the first time I played that, how inaccessible it seemed to me, because that was the first Souls-1 game I ever played.
Yeah, it's true. Because I didn't play another Souls game then until I played Bloodborne in 2019. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, which I did, which was like, well, that was my first proper Souls experience. But yeah, kind of getting off the beaten track. But it does seem like depending on who's doing a remaster or a remake, is the quality or what goes into it.
Yeah.
Because that Outlaws game, not many people remember that game.
No.
Not many people remember it. I remember it because I played it and I really enjoyed it at the time. And, you know, it doesn't live up to what my memory of it was, but that's not the game's fault. That's my remembering of its fault.
Yeah.
So do I think it's a good version? It's a well-rounded version of that game. It's just the game isn't that good. So it's not as good as I remember it to be. So it's not the remaster's fault. But that kind of feels like... And they didn't charge a lot of money for it. It was like... It's on sale still for £20.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like they wanted to charge like £70 for it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's where I kind of draw the line, is like, you remake a classic and then you want to charge full price for it. It's like,
yeah.
Until Dawn, they did a remaster. I don't think it was a remake recently, and they've charged full price. It's like that game only came out like just over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That is a cash grab.
Well, see, like, how many times has Sony released and then re-released Last of Us or Last of Us Part 2?
Exactly. That does smell of cash grabs, doesn't it? You know, it really does. Because Last of Us came out in 2013. Last of Us Remastered came out in 2014 on PlayStation 4. Last of Us Remake came out on PlayStation 5. And then Last of Us Part 2 Remastered came out on PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah, it's banking on the people who play them originally just to cough up the cash, which I did. Hold up my hands. You know, right. But I do love those games. And you're right, though. It's like they're banking on people to that nostalgia of playing those games. And that's what it's about. But
yeah, so I'm trying to think. I must have played some... So the Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection I played, and it's not... really much a remaster. It's just sort of like putting the old games onto a modern platform. Systems.
Yeah. But they didn't charge a lot of money for it, though, did they?
No.
And it was even part of PS Plus, I think.
Yeah, it was. Like, after I bought it, but like, it wasn't a lot of money.
No.
And you get like 12 games or something in that, because it's got like all the Game Boy versions and the NES versions. And like, sometimes, like, if you've got Tournament Fighters, which is like the Street Fighter style game, you've got both the SNES and Mega Drive version of that in the collection.
Yeah.
And they're quite different from each other.
Yeah.
So I don't think that falls really into the sort of cash grab.
No. I guess, like I say, it depends on what you're looking at. But there's pros and cons for both. Like, we both played the BioShock Remasters 1 and 2, I think.
And 3?
I haven't played Remaster of 3.
Right, yet. Okay. Well, 3 is in the...
It's in the collection.
I just own it, yeah.
Because I haven't got good memories of that game.
Right.
But I think that was worth the price of entry, because it wasn't too expensive, and they actually did like a proper remaster where it's in 60 FPS, full HD or 4K resolution. Mm-hmm. You know, they fixed a couple of bugs. Yeah. So that was worth the price of it. I guess it really depends on your perspective of what are you willing to pay and or the quality of these remasters.
Yeah, I mean, it was for us. I've seen some bits about, apparently the PC version of that particular remake trilogy isn't so great, and the original versions were better for PC.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking now, I still haven't played the Oblivion remake, because Oblivion was my first Elder Scrolls game on Xbox 360 like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I did really enjoy that game. I put like 100 hours into it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your Xbox sat there gathering dust.
If it is literally gathering dust.
If you got Game Pass, you could get that remaster if you wanted to. But yeah, apparently it's the same, you know, bugs and all are all still in it. They haven't...
What I mean, it's like...
If you're expecting quality of life stuff, you're not going to get it in that one.
Like, I remember enjoying Oblivion 20 years ago, because it was 20 years ago, you know, and you had to do certain things to get your skills up in the game. And if this is just a literally... all they've done is put a coat of paint on it to make it look pretty and everything else is the same, I don't think I really want to play it.
Yeah.
I haven't got massive amounts of nostalgia for Oblivion. The last 40 hours of that game I played would just grind to get all the 100,000 achievement points.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like Skyrim. How many times has that been released? A ridiculous amount of times. And although it's a great game and I love Skyrim, you know, I don't know if it's worth upgrading that many times. I mean, that is, they call it the last version was the anniversary edition, you know, and it's an old game now. It came out in 2011.
Yeah.
So it just feel like Bethesda just trying to string us along until the Elder Scrolls 6 come along, which is still at least 2 years away, at least.
Yeah.
If not longer.
I did play the Sonic Origins collection.
Yeah.
And this is another one that is not the best. So they had like, they have like four different versions of this game.
Right.
And depending on which version you paid for, a lot of the bits that you would think would just be in the base game for a collection,
yeah,
were only in the particular more expensive version.
Yeah.
And this
sounds like a cash grab.
Yeah, this is things like extreme missions, which were challenging bite-sized missions, the mirror mode, character animations for the menus, music and backgrounds from, you know, other Sonic games, and like to change your menu and stuff were all hidden behind a certain mode of the game.
Yeah.
Or certain version of the game. So if you only bought the bog standard one, like the one I've got, you don't get any of those without paying microtransactions on top.
Yeah.
Why are you paying money for character animations for menus?
Yeah. That sounds like bullshit.
Yeah.
That sounds like, oh, but definitely a cash grab, that one.
Yeah. And they also, I mean, this part didn't really affect me, but apparently the music for Sonic 3 was done by Michael Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
Has that been verified?
I'm not 100% certain, but I think it's fairly well known that he did the music. This was going to come on to. They've sort of lost the rights to it. The music has reverted back to Michael Jackson. So in this collection, they've had to make whole new music for Sonic 3. And so people who've got nostalgia for Sonic 3 were unhappy that the music they remembered wasn't in the whole game.
Wasn't in there.
Haven't got the rights anymore.
And they'd have to pay probably quite a lot of money to Michael Jackson's estate to get back, wouldn't they?
Yeah. That's a bit of a weird one. I'm trying to think of the other ones. I must have played some others. I mean, I haven't actually played it yet, but the Bomberman collection that was released recently, which is like six Super Nintendo Bomberman games, and I think only four of them had been released in the West before, and the other two were Japan only.
Yeah.
That's got fairly positive reception, and it's only like 20 quid.
Yeah.
I think it's also got a couple of bonus NES versions as well that were only released in Japan first time round.
Yeah.
I'd never played a Bomberman game on a NES. Super Nintendo was where I played that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I played Bomberman on the Amiga, I think.
Yeah, well, you played Bomb Jack, didn't you?
Bomb Jack, yeah.
Which is similar, but not 100% the same.
100% the same franchise. Thing.
It's the same sort of thing, but not exactly the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. But it's I fell recently for the Super Mario Galaxy, didn't I? Even though I owned Super Mario Galaxy as part of the Mario 3D All-Stars, I bought Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 as a separate, because they were, you know, people like me who played those games really enjoyed those games and I paid it. So I guess it comes down to what are you willing to pay?
Well, yeah. I paid 33 quid for just Mario Galaxy 2, because that's not in the 3D All-Stars collection.
No.
and I digital downloaded it. And I could have paid 70 quid for both games, but I didn't want to.
No.
I've already got one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. But yeah, I think in conclusion, it really comes down to what you're willing to pay. But yeah, there are games out there that are cash grabs, but these remasters and remakes that have been criticized recently for, there've been too many of them, especially in this generation of gaming on the PS5. There's been too many remasters and remakes and blah, 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 which I don't know. I mean, I like to go back and play games I have played before.
Yeah.
I don't do it that often. But when I'm quote unquote loose end gaming wise, I might go back and play something that I've not played before. And if a remaster is staring me in the face, then maybe I'll play that.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the Luigi's Mansion 2 was on the 3DS originally, wasn't it? Dark Moon.
Yes.
That is now on Switch, and I did buy it on Switch. I just haven't finished it.
I think Nintendo are just as guilty of this as the other two.
Definitely. If not more so, because they're banking on you. Like, how many times Nintendo can resell you the same game? And you fall for it every time. I think there's a meme out there somewhere about that.
There is, yeah.
But that probably brings us to the end of that, doesn't it?
It does. So that brings us to the end of this week's show?
I think so, yeah.
Bit of a short one this week.
Yeah.
Okay, you can find us on Instagram, Blue Sky, YouTube is audio only, all two guys, three consoles. We're on TikTok, but we don't use it because we're too old. We have an email address, which is twoguys3consoles@yahoo.com, and that's all words, no numbers. We have a Facebook group.
We do.
And a Discord that's free to join. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do it on there. Is there anything else?
That's it. You got it.
That's it. Right. Okay. Oh, and if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm J_Monster. And on Blue Sky, I'm JMonster, no space, no underscore.
Yeah. You can get me on Instagram at MattLeach26 and get me on Blue Sky at MattLeach1.
Cool. Right. I think that's it for episode 51. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Thank you. See you. Bye.
Bye.